This is Judith Lay, very happy to once again be at your service. Moramai, good morning and welcome. Today I'm joined by Methodist minister from the west of the island, Reverend Andy Fishburn, Reverend Dawn Mather, leader of the United Reformed Church, and Reverend Ian Folds, a priest in the Anglican Church, who I believe is in the Falkland Islands right now. But today we're listening to something from his time in ministry in the cathedral in Peel. But we begin with another of your chosen hymns. Thank you to Juliet Thompson, who named this as her favourite. And Juliet, I think there are many who'll say it's theirs too. Choir girl Isabel Suckling and All Things Bright and Beautiful. Your hymn choices are always welcome, and I'll remind you of how to contact me at the end of the programme. Our Bible reading today comes once more from St John's Gospel. We're still in the time when Jesus, having risen from the dead, is continuing to appear to his disciples, teaching them, helping them, preparing them for the time, very soon, when he will leave them to return to his Father in heaven. But, as we'll hear, he's not abandoning them. David Suchet has the reading, then we welcome Reverend Andy Fishburn as he explains what the verses are saying to us today.
If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me any more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
I'd like to start today by asking you to recall a time recently when someone has given you a wide berth. Maybe it's someone in the street who's gone into the road so that they don't have to get near to you. Maybe it's a postman leaving a parcel at your door and then walking away. Maybe it's someone in a supermarket who gives you space to come down an aisle. We've all had to keep our distance from people at the moment, of course, and it's quite a strange thing to do. And I wonder how it makes you feel when somebody gives you a wide berth like that. In the passage from the Gospel of John that we've just heard, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he gave them some advice for times which were tough. When things got hard, he gave them this advice. He said, "You should love me. Love me." I wonder if in these days, the way that so many people have rekindled their love for prayer is a way of loving God. Prayer is, at its heart, just listening to God and talking to God. Jesus also says that you should obey my commandments. And this is part and parcel of loving God, is doing what God knows is best for us. Jesus summed up the commandments by saying we need to love God, and we need to love our neighbours. If we go back to the Ten Commandments, though, which Jesus was summarising, one of those is particularly relevant today. It's the commandment to not kill. Before this time, I'd never really thought too much about that commandment. I'd never really thought that was an issue for me. I'm not a murderous person. But at the moment, I'm aware that I do have the potential to be dangerous because of this COVID-19. One of the reasons why this is such a terrible virus is that it can be passed from one person to another without you realising that you have it. When I'm out and about, I could be carrying this virus and spreading it to other people. And because I feel fine, I would have no clue that I had this disease within me, that my body was providing a host for this virus. So, keeping our distance is a way of loving our neighbour. It's a way of not killing, because we never know what might be coming out through our breath, which could be very deadly for the people that we're meeting. Keeping our distance is a holy act. Jesus goes on to say that when we do this, when we love him, when we obey his commandments, there's a promise, there's good news, there's something for us in it too. He says that when we live this way, loving God, loving our neighbour, he will give us something to live in us too. Not a virus, but something way better. Incomparably better. God will give us the Holy Spirit. God himself will come and live in us, live in our bodies. Which is the most astonishing thing when you think about it. God, who created the universe, makes home within us. God, the Holy Spirit, is invisible. It changes the way that we behave. And it's contagious. It can spread from one person to another. Like COVID-19, but I don't want to draw the comparison further than this because it is completely the opposite in terms of its goodness. God, the Holy Spirit in us, is invisible. It does change the way we behave. It is contagious, but in the best way possible. So may we all know that keeping our distance from our neighbours is a holy act. May we know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and they are too. As the restrictions begin to be eased, may we be diligent in loving our neighbour by keeping our distance. And may we always love God and pray to the God who is out there and in us. Amen.
Thank you.
you, Reverend Andy Fishburne, and the music, Holy Spirit, We Welcome You, was by the St. Michael Singers. Today is the end of Dying Matters Awareness Week. No one ever wants to talk about dying, do they? Especially now. But what happens when someone who is seriously ill wants to talk about preparing for their death? We owe it to them to be the other half of that conversation. That doesn't mean that we have to be an expert on religion or wills or funerals or medical care. There are people we can turn to for help on all of those things. We just need to be willing to have the conversation, then get the help that's available. But a true story from my next guest is probably the best explanation of the difference that conversation can make to the end of someone's life. Reverend Dawn Mather leads the United Reformed Church on the island and is also a chaplain to Nobles Hospital. But she's had a lifetime's experience as both a hospital and hospice chaplain. And it's from that experience across that she draws now.
I struggle to wake up as it's 3 a.m. and the phone is ringing. I am being called to the hospital. I dress quickly, picking up my small container of oil and my NHS badge on the way out of the door. The roads are quiet, nothing stirs. I travel along the seafront and into the pickup area outside the main doors. Although locked, my badge allows me access to venture past the entrance into the hospital corridor that leads to my office. Having dispensed with my coat and bag, I walk up to the ward to be greeted by the nurse who phoned me. She welcomes me warmly, as I had worked at the hospital for a few years. We look together over the notes outlining the spiritual care pathway that I had filled in after my conversation with the patient I was about to see. After her prognosis, she had asked to see me, and we spent some time sharing her story. She was not a churchgoer, but said she believed in God. I explained that whatever her beliefs or none, the chaplain was a friend when needed. She then went on to say that she had hoped to be there for the birth of her grandchild, but it seemed time was against her. After shedding some tears, she asked if I would meet with her family so that they would know me and trust me to support them when the end was close. The family were devoted to their mum and saddened by the prognosis. However, as I spent time listening and talking with them, it became clear what kind of spiritual care they would appreciate, from emotional support to religious support. They felt happy that Mum had a chance to express her needs and they theirs, and that it would be recorded in the notes, so when the time came, we could put her wishes into actions. Hence my nighttime call out and the need to refresh my memory on the patient and her family's wishes. As I entered the room, one of the family members flung herself into my arms. The family had gathered around, some standing, others sitting, some crying, some stoic, others comforting. I began to greet them as I made my way to the patient's side. As agreed, I said a prayer of thanksgiving for her life and the love she had shared with her family. And I read a reading the family had given to me. And as I was reading, I noticed she had passed away. As I left the ward once the family had gone home, I realised that whilst I got back into my warm bed, the nursing staff was still working on the ward. In the days that followed, the family had asked for a viewing in the hospital chapel. Later, I visited the family preparing the funeral, as I had been asked to officiate, and had the privilege of being the minister who then baptised the newborn grandchild later that year. This is one story among so many. I can't help but be thankful when holistic care is a full part of the hospital process. We are beings that incorporate body, mind and spirit. And as chaplains, we are aware that even medical staff need spiritual care support as they deal with so many distressing situations. And I, for one, will continue banging my pots and pans in thankfulness for them.
Thank you, Reverend Dawn Mather, reflecting on her time as a hospital chaplain across. Dawn leads the United Reformed Church on the island and is a chaplain to nobles. Yesterday was the Feast of St. Brendan, a fascinating figure who was both a skilled deep-sea sailor and an inspirational saint of the Celtic Church. He spent 7 years at sea, overcoming great dangers in uncharted waters and foreign lands, but he also founded an abbey at Clonfert in Ireland with around 3,000 disciples. Whilst he was a member of the ministry team at the cathedral in Peel, Reverend Ian Foulds led special services to share the stories of our Celtic saints, and from his talk about Brendan, we learned that there are two accounts of his life. One tells of his skill and bravery as a seaman, the other of his great holiness. Born into a Christian family in Ireland at the end of the 5th century, Brendan's mother was told through numerous prophecies that her baby would grow to be an exceptional man. So, when Brendan was just 1 year old, she gave him to the care of the church. Reverend Ian now takes up the story.
And from about the age of 10, he accompanied the bishop on his journeys. And it was during this period that the first three miracles connected with Brendan are recorded. Firstly, a wild deer coming down from the mountain to provide milk for him. Secondly, saving a fugitive from certain death by making a boulder take his shape. And later, perhaps to prove his saintly credentials, the reviving of a dead youth. "Place your confidence in God," Brendan told the parents and mourners, "for it is in his power to restore the dead youth to life." And then he prayed with them for a long time till the deceased rose up and returned home with his friends in great joy. The fame of this miracle soon spread far and wide. Is it any wonder that the Irish Life of Brendan describes him as a paragon of all the biblical virtues? It is against this backdrop that Brendan set out on his voyages. This was not some enchanted or mythical tale, but began as a real attempt in the Celtic tradition to encounter God and seek the truth. And once again, according to his Irish life, the love of the Lord grew intensely in the heart of Brendan, and he desired to abandon his territory and home and parents, and he fervently besought the Lord to make known to him some retired, mysterious, unknown land of delight where he might live in solitude. And as he slept one night, he heard the voice of an angel who said to him, "Arise, O Brendan, the land of promise you have asked for has been granted to you." During his seven-year voyage, he encountered many wonders, visited strange lands, encountered fallen angels, almost died from starvation, suffered great hardship, but finally reached his destination. And here a young man called him by name and summed up the whole purpose of his journeying in a few well-chosen words. "Behold, the land you have sought for so long a time, but you could not find it at once, because our Lord Jesus Christ desired to show you the different mysteries of this great ocean. This is the message that surely lies at the heart of all pilgrimage. The journey is as important as the destination." But the story of his voyages, his courage in adversity, the strength of his faith, and his powerful teaching have all influenced the development of the Isle of Man. Not only does the story of Brendan remind us that we are an island, but it also challenges us to re-engage with the past and use the courage and inspiration we find there to face the future in the knowledge that we too can change the world. I end with an Orthodox prayer which encapsulates the heritage he has left for us all. The Church of Christ rejoices exceedingly, most gloriously embracing Brendan the Great Voyager. And the Irish lands which gave him birth and nurtured him in piety are exceedingly glad. For he sailed undaunted over the raging waters of the sea in a frail vessel of hide, seeking on earth that which is heavenly, but finding it only in the heavens. Wherefore, celebrating his memorial, we chant in thanksgiving unto God Most High, who has given him to us as a sure and certain guide, a lodestone for our voyage through life. And we, his children, guided by the pure example of his life, beseech the Lord most earnestly that we also may find salvation of soul and everlasting life in the abode of bliss.
Reverend Ian Folds reflecting there on the inspiration we can take from the life of Celtic saint Brendan the Navigator, whose name is woven into the history of the island. The Church of St. Brendan was once the parish church of Douglas, and where it stood is the church we now know as Old Kirkbraddon. Now let's end with a blessing, words traditionally spoken by the minister or priest at the end of a service as he prays a blessing over the people before they leave the church. But this is a blessing with a difference. 2 weeks ago, individuals from over 65 UK churches and movements, each singing in isolation, united electronically to pray these words of blessing over everyone.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you
and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face toward you
and give you peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the last 2 weeks, the video of the UK blessing, as it's become known, has been watched over 2.5 million times. The church isn't just singing a blessing, it's being a blessing. Since lockdown began, some of the churches included in this song have helped to supply 400,000 meals to vulnerable and isolated people, as well as making regular phone calls to those living alone, doing pharmacy deliveries, and taking hot meals to NHS frontline staff. The buildings may be closed, but the churches have never been more alive. Simon Parry runs the All Stars Kids Club in the UK and has spent the last 20 years helping young people to love their faith. After they'd seen the UK blessing, several friends asked Simon if he could do the same, but for children. His one Instagram post went literally all over the world. The videos started arriving almost immediately, and 5 days later, this is the result. Please listen out for the little boy who can't speak, but joins in with his voice synthesizer.
Peace.
time for this week. My thanks to everyone who took part in today's programme, and my thanks to you for continuing to choose our hymns. Do please keep letting me know your favourites so I can include them in future programmes. You can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. I'd love to hear from you. So just time for me to say thank you for your company and hold on to the words of that blessing. It is for you and for everyone you love. I do hope you'll join me again next Sunday morning at 9:30 as the churches of the island Living Faith Together will once again be at your service. Bye-bye for now.